Amen. I'm glad those of you that are happy, I'm glad that you're happy. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 4 this evening. I love that song, that Christmas melody song, even though it might take every breath out of you to sing it. But I love, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. That's how amazing Jesus is. We should want to tell it on the mountains. We should want to shout it from the rooftops. Everyone needs to know that the King has been born. Come on, church. The King has been born. This is not a Christmas message, but I still love the Christmas songs at Christmas time. Not right after Thanksgiving, but at the Christmas time they have their place. But I do love the Christmas songs. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want to read this piece from Moses' song after the Red Sea. I love this piece. It's just three verses from it. Verse 11 says, "Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, and working in wonders?" Verse 13 says, "In your unfailing love you lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength you will guide them to your holy dwelling." In verse 18, listen to me closely, church. "The Lord reigns forever and ever." Amen. The Lord reigns forever and ever. Listen to me closely. Obedience is the key to your walk with God. Being obedient is the key to having a good, godly walk with God. It is important for you to obey what God commands us. Why? He is in charge. Can I say it again? The Lord reigns forever and ever. He is on the throne, church. He is on the throne, and He is our Father. And listen to me closely. This is an important message. It's a hard message a little bit. But he is our Father, and He disciplines us when we disobey. Listen to me closely, church. He has every right as our Father to discipline us. Why? Because the Word says He loves us. A good father disciplines his children. He corrects his children. This is important for us to know as we go along these passages. Listen to me, church. Sin is no joke. It's not a joke. Sin is a serious offense. It separates us from God. It drives a big wedge between you and God. That's what sin does. And listen to me. God doesn't send us to hell. Sin sends us there. Sin sends us to hell. And listen, I want to remind you, just here for a moment, the one who died upon the cross for you, that sin that drove the wedge between you and God. God loved you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. To die for you, to wash away your sins. How precious is His blood? Church, how precious is His blood that He's made us new, a new creation. Praise the Lord. Sin is no joke, church. The world will just accept it, dumb it down, play it down. But God says sin is serious. Sinning against God is a serious offense. And listen to me, God is a just God, but Jesus Christ, the punishment that was due to us was upon Him. And by His wounds we're healed. Praise the Lord for our Savior. He leads the people He has redeemed. Are you redeemed, church? Are you redeemed this evening? I want to ask you this question. Are you obeying God? Are you listening to where God wants you to go? Are you obeying the Word of God? And listen to me. I want you to remember where He's brought you from. Where He's brought you out of. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let me give you a little bit of context. We're going to read a little bit of scripture here. But praise God for His word this evening. Moses, they're here and they're camped just outside the Jordan River. They can basically see the promised land. They're ready to go in. They're ready to go into the promised land. But I love these first pieces, chapters 1 through 4. Moses is giving a recap. A summary. If you want to know a little summary of what their journey in the wilderness, read Deuteronomy 1 through 4. Moses is giving a recap to all the people. Look what God has done. Look what you have done. Look at all the things that have been done. This is what's happening. He's giving a recap to the Israelites. verse 1 of chapter 4. Here we go. Now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes that what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Listen to me closely. Follow the word of God to a T. Every aspect of the word of God, we must follow it. Why? It is perfect, church. The word of God is perfect, and it is useful. It's beneficial for everything. For teaching, rebuking, correcting, for training up in righteousness. That's what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. 3:16 and 17. It's an amazing, amazing thing that God has given to us. But listen to me. There's many people in the world today trying to add and subtract to the word of God. Don't do it. Don't do it. And listen to me, this is a troubling thing for me. Churches are doing the same thing. They're adding and subtracting from the perfect word of God. What does that look like? It's like you're cherry picking. Ooh, I like that one. I don't like that one. Ooh, I like this one. I don't like this one. Don't do that with the word of God. Don't do that with the precious word of God. The very words of God. That same passage in 2 Timothy says, God breathed. The scripture is God breathed, inspired by God. This is an important thing for us to understand. It teaches us how to live godly lives. We wouldn't know how to if it wasn't for the word of God, if it wasn't for the laws and the decrees. If we wouldn't know what sin is. Church, I hope I'm stressing this enough. The word of God is so precious. It is so important. We should hold fast to it. Fast to the word of God. Everything in it, even the hard things. And listen to me, church. There's a lot of hard things in the word of God. There's a lot of hard things to understand. This is important. It says in verse 6, observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding. Praise God for his Holy Spirit. Verse 7, here we go. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way that the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I'm setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, and let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, assemble the people before me and hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire, to the very heavens with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow, then wrote them on the two stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and the laws you are to follow in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Praise the Lord. Listen to me, church. Praise the Lord that he is near to us. Who among is so great like our God, so near to our God, that when we pray to him, he listens to us. When we pray to him, he hears us. Praise the Lord. And listen to me. We have something a little bit greater than they even had. We have the Holy Spirit if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. He is so near to us that when you believe in Jesus Christ, he dwells inside you, so that you may know the laws and the decrees, so you might understand what's in the word of God. Praise the Lord for his Holy Spirit. I hope you can praise the Lord for that. And listen to me. Don't forget what you have seen. This was a common theme for the Israelites. It's always repeated. Remember where God has brought you out of. Remember where he's, remember Egypt, Israelites. Remember what God did for you there. Remember what God has done. Remember what you have seen God do. This is an important thing, church. Remember what you have seen. He says in verse 9, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Amen. Listen to me. We're supposed to teach the word of God to your children and your grandchildren. Listen to me, parents. This is important because coming up after the end of Joshua into the book of Judges, they forget. And it says they do evil in the eyes of the Lord. And after every judge dies, they seem to go back and do the same sinful things. Why? Because they forget. They forget who their God is. They forget how mighty and holy and awesome and glorious God is. Remember what you have seen and what you have heard. And parents, listen to me closely. Teach the word of God. I hope the church is doing a good job, but listen to me. It is your responsibility to your children and your grandchildren to teach the word of God. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. That's how important this word of God is. Because listen to me, a whole generation can be living under sin because the parents forgot who God was. Because the parents forgot who God was. That is so, so important, church. I cannot stress it enough how important it is to teach the word of God. There are so many amazing things. It shows the sin. But listen to me, much, much more. It shows the hope. The hope. The hope in Jesus Christ. The blessed hope. The living hope. The only hope. The only hope. The only hope for a sinner is Jesus Christ. And I'm a sinner, so praise God for Jesus Christ. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Let's keep going. I told you I got a lot of verses. Verse 15. You saw no form of any kind the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the fire. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully so that you do not become corrupt and make for yourselves an idol, an image of any shape, whether formed like a man or a woman or like any animal on earth or any bird that flies in the air or like any creature that moves along the ground or any fish in the waters below. And when you look up to the sky and see the sun, the moon, the stars, and all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshiping things the Lord your God has apportioned to all nations under heaven. But as for you, the Lord took you and brought you out of the iron smelting furnace, out of Egypt, to be the people of his inheritance, as you now are. Listen to me. This is a common theme with the Israelites. I want us to understand this. Idolatry was a huge thing back then. There were so many gods. There was a god for the sun. There was a god for the moon. There was a god for each and every star. There was a god for the produce. There was a god for the water. There was a god for every single thing. But listen to me. This is baffling to me that we don't worship the one who's the maker of all those things. And listen to me. This happens still today. People worship the stars. You've seen it. Worship the stars, the sun, the moon. But listen to me. There is one creator of all things, and his name is God, the one true living God, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He is the creator, and I want to stress this one more time. Sin is not a game. It is a serious offense. It's not a game, church. It is not a game, but I want to remind us of something. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Don't you think you're out of it because you aren't worshiping some wooden statue that you're out of it, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. And we need Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins. Do not be enticed. The world is going to try to pull you in every single direction to worship. And listen to me, we might not worship the sun and the moon, but there's many of us today who worship ourselves, who worship another person. We put them on the pedestal. Listen to me, God is the maker of all things. He's created you. He is the maker of all things. Don't ever forget this, church. Because you're, at one point, someone's going to try to convince you that there's some other way, but there's no other way than God, the creator of heaven and earth. Come on, church. I know there's not very many people, but this is an amazing, amazing thing. But again, I'll say, sin is not a game. And I know there's some of you today probably living in sin where you're at. Listen to me. It's not a game. It is an important thing to realize that I am a sinner. And I'm separated from God. And only Jesus Christ is the way to the Father. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But listen to me. God is the God of all hope. Don't ever forget that. Don't think you're too far gone. You've done too many idol worships. You've done too many, you've stole too many things, or you've lied about too many things. Listen to me. God is the God of all hope. It's not too late. It's not too late. Verse 21. The Lord was angry with me because of you, and he solemnly swore that I would not cross the Jordan and enter the good land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. I will die in this land. I will not cross the Jordan, but you are about to cross over and take possession of that good land. Be careful not to forget the covenant the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Let me give you a little context of what Moses is talking about here. Moses doesn't get to go. Moses doesn't get to step into the promised land. Why? This is an important piece. In Numbers, I believe it's like around chapter 20. He doesn't get to go in because there's no water. There's this drought. And the people are complaining. They're saying, Moses, you should have just left us in Egypt where we were a slave. You should have just left us there to die. We would have rather died in Egypt than die here out in the wilderness. Oh, what a scary thing to say. So Moses and Aaron, they go to God. They say, God, we need some water. God says, take your staff, speak to this rock, and water will come out. But Moses is so angry at the people. He's so bitter at the people. He says, you want some water, Israelites? You want it? And he takes his staff and he hits it. And he hits it twice. And water comes gushing out. But then the Lord says to Moses and Aaron, you don't get to go into the promised land. Because you have not revered me and honored me as the holy living God. We'll say, man, that's harsh. That's a harsh. But you know why we probably think that? Because we don't take sin serious. When God commands, he expects us to keep it. So something, and this is important. This is an important thing. Leaders, listen to me. You have a huge responsibility. Moses was supposed to lead the people. He was a representation of God's leadership. If you're a leader, listen to me. You have a huge responsibility. Even in the New Testament, it says, teachers, you got a huge responsibility. You have a huge responsibility. And listen to me. This is an important piece. Don't think the Lord doesn't get angry. Don't think sin doesn't make God angry. When you sin, even as a child of God, listen to me closely, sin still makes the Lord angry. But praise God for his mercy. Praise God for his grace. And listen to me. Don't think he won't discipline. Don't think you can go on playing games with God, that he's not going to end up disciplining you as a child of God. Because expect it. If you're living in sin, expect the discipline to come. But listen to me, you don't want it to come because listen to me, I bet every ounce of Moses wanted to get into the promised land. But I want to remind you, God still loved Moses. He still loved Moses with everything. But listen to me, sin has consequences. Dire sometimes. Dire consequences. But listen to me, I'll just say this little piece because I think it's amazing. At the end of Deuteronomy, God takes Moses up to this mountain, and Moses gets to see all the land that the children are going to get to possess. The beautiful, spacious, you know, just flowing with milk and honey. He shows up, and Moses is 120 years old. He's old. And he dies. But this is an amazing piece. God buries him. God himself buries Moses The one who messed up. And can I tell you, Moses is in paradise? Don't think he's not. He was at Jesus' transfiguration. Don't think he was not in paradise for his sin and his mistake. Listen to me. God is the God of mercy. God is the God of grace. God loves us still. But listen to me. Sin has dire consequences sometimes. Don't play games, church. Don't play games. And leaders, listen to me. There's people following you. And when you sin, you not only sin against God, but you've probably led somebody astray. You've probably led somebody down the wrong path. And that's not a place you want to be, church. Don't think God won't discipline. And I praise God for his discipline. Because without the whooping, sometimes, I wouldn't know if I ever actually did anything wrong. Church, he is amazing. Verse 25, let's keep going. After you have had children and grandchildren and have lived in the land a long time, if you then become corrupt and make any kind of idol, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord your God and arousing his anger, I call the heavens and earth as witnesses against you this day that you will quickly perish from the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You will not live there long, but will certainly be destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive among the nations to which the Lord will drive you. Then, or there, you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul, when you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then the latter days you will return to the Lord, not abandon or destroy, to the Lord your God, and obey him. For the Lord your God is merciful, God, a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your ancestors, which he confirmed to them by oath. Listen to me. This is an important piece. This is why you need to know the word of God, church. This happens. Everything Moses says here in this little piece happens to the Israelites. They sin, they follow after false gods, no gods at all, and they're captured. The Babylons get them. They're captured, they're slaved by them, they're in a land who worships man-made idols. All this happens to them. This is an amazing piece. I love that I saw this here, because almost exactly this happens, and it's important to know. But listen, this is an amazing piece to me here at the end. God is always looking for a repentant heart. He is always looking for a repentant heart. I love his word. He says, if a nation would repent, if they were doing evil and they would repent, he says, he'll relent. Listen to me, church, if you've sinned. Listen to me, if you repent with all of your heart, with all of your soul, if you repent, it says that he'll relent. He'll show mercy and grace. And listen to me, again, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And listen to me, those who repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is saved. 100% saved. Amen, church. Amen. This is important also to know. It says it in this chapter towards the end. He does not leave us or forsake us. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Even in your lowest moments, God is still with you. God was still with the Israelites even in their dumbest moments when they sinned against God. He might take his hand off of them. He might take the blessings off of them. That's a warning to us, church. If we sin, he might take his blessed hand off of us. And he has every right to, church. He does. He has every right to. And listen to me closely. He does not leave us. He does not forsake us. Don't forget it, church. Because you'll be able to stay on that straight and narrow path if you know that God is always with you. That God dwells inside you if you have Jesus Christ. Verse 31. I got to say it again. For the Lord your God is merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your ancestors, which he confirmed to them by oath. If you're a child of God, you have promised heaven. You are promised salvation. He does not break his promises, church. If you have truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt it, because his word confirms it. Truth. This is what we have here at our fingertips, church. Truth. the one, only, true, living truth. It's amazing. It's an amazing piece. Let's keep going. Ask now, verse 32, ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created human beings on earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other. Has anything so great as this ever happened? Or has anything like it ever been heard of? Has any other people heard the voice of God speaking out of fire as you have and lived? Has any God tried to take for himself one nation out of another nation by testings, by signs and wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, or by great and awesome deeds like all the things the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes? You were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Besides him, there is no other. From heaven he made you hear his voice to discipline you. On earth he showed you his great fire. You heard his words from out of the fire because he loved your ancestors and chose their descendants after them. He brought you out of Egypt by his presence and his great strength to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and to bring you into their land to give it to you for your inheritance as it is today. Listen to me, church. Remember your salvation. Remember your salvation. Oh, don't forget it. I don't care if you've been saved for 20 years. Remember your salvation. It says there in verse 32, ask now about the former days, long before your time, from the day God created human beings on earth. Ask from one end of the heavens to the other. Listen to me, church. Has anything so great as this ever happened? Salvation. Has anything ever so great has ever happened? No. Why? Because it was an impossible thing. But listen to me. This is what the word says. It might be impossible for man, but it is not impossible for God. God has made a way. Remember your salvation. Remember. And I know this had to speak so true to the Israelites. Remember where God has brought you out of. And listen to me. We've said it before in this church, and it's so true. There's probably no other person, no other people who saw the hand of God move as much as the Israelites did right here. They saw it so many times, and it's so sad to hear them say, I wish we were back in Egypt. You don't want to go back to your sinful life. Why would you want to go back living in bondage to sin? Because that's what the word says. We're slave to sin when we sin. We're in a bondage to sin, and Jesus is the bondage breaker. He breaks those bonds, and praise God for that he's able to give us that. That we were due such a big, big penalty. Such a big, big debt. Such a huge debt. A debt we could never pay. But through the blood of Jesus, it's been paid. It's been paid, church. It's been paid. Praise the Lord. Have you accepted the payment? Have you accepted the payment? Remember what he's done. The great and awesome deeds of God. Has he done great things in your life? Some heads bobbing. Has he done great things in your life? Awesome deeds only explained by God. Awesome, awesome deeds. And listen to me. Remember, there is no God other than God. There is no God other than the Lord God. I'll have to say this verse again. I love it so much. Verse 35, you were shown these things, all these signs, you were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God, and besides him, there is no other. There is no one other than God. There is no one other than God. This is why Moses had to talk about all the idol worship, because you know what happened when they got the Ten Commandments? They went and they raised up an idol. We have to be reminded, church, reminded of sin. Reminded of sin. Praise God, he forgives our sins and cast them as far as the east is from the west. And he remembers them no more. He's the only one that can do that. He's the only one that can cast sin as far as the east is from the west. But listen to me. It is an important thing to remember our mistakes. It's an important thing to remember the sins that we've committed. Why would it be an important thing? Don't dwell on them. Know that Christ has freed you from it. Know that Christ has washed it as white as snow. But don't forget, because why? So that you don't do it again. That's it. Why did Moses remind them so much about idolatry? So they don't do it again. So they don't do it again. Church, some of you have been playing with the same sin for years. You get clean and you go right back in. You stop watching this and you go right back in. And you do this cycle over and over again. Can I say, you probably haven't let Jesus actually forgive it. You probably haven't given it actually to Jesus. You probably actually haven't repented fully of it. This is an important thing. I know it's hard, church. I know it's hard, but sin is hard. It is hard, and it convicts, and it damages our lives. Every single one in this person has been damaged by sin. I'll say it again. For all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. We've all been damaged by sin. But listen to me. The one who mends us back together, his name is Jesus Christ. Verse 39. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. Keep his decrees and his commands, which I am giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. Listen to me, church. The Lord is God. The Lord reigns forever and ever. He is on the throne. He is in charge. He is the King. He is the Lord. Let Him be those things. If you're struggling with sin today, this evening, let Him be the one who washes it away. Because He is the only one that can do it. I'll say, acknowledge and take to heart this day. This day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. He is God, church. The world will say He's not. But listen to me, I'm telling you from the Word of God, He is God. He is the amazing, He is the awesome, amazing, living God. He's not a dead God. He's not dead in the grave. Listen to me, church. He is the living God. And His Word is so powerful. The Bible says the Word is sharper than a double-edged sword. And it pierces through soul and spirit, bone and marrow. That is the power of the Word of God. And listen to me, church. I want to say this. I feel like I got to. I don't worship a cross. I don't worship a book. I worship the living God. There's a lot of people worshiping a book, and there's a lot of people worshiping these images. But listen to me, I worship the one true living God, and I pray you worship the same one. I pray you worship the same one. Take heart, church. Take to heart who the Lord God is. Know that He sits on the throne, Him alone. Listen to me closely. Jesus Christ sits at His right hand. He is the Son of God. The only Son of God that God sent. He sent His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Church, this is how powerful the Word of God is. It tells us that. I pray you know it. I pray you know it. That God loved us so much that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Praise the Lord. Take heart, church. Know who sits on the throne. And listen to me. If you want to live a godly life, if you want to live a godly life, flee from sin. Run from it. Do whatever you can to get away from it. Flee from sin, because it's the one thing that separates us from God. Flee from it. Run from it. And trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Listen to me. There are some of you today, even in this small room, living in sin. You haven't given it up. Can I tell you, church? It's time to repent and turn to God. It's time to let it go. It's time to change. It's time to give it to God. Stop playing with it. Because it's a serious thing. It's not a thing to be played with. Because of the thing Moses did, he didn't get to go to the promised land. But praise God that he saved us from our sins. That he has washed us as white as snow. But listen to me, we can still mess up. All of us still mess up from time to time. Are you quick to repent? Are you quick to repent and turn to God? But listen to me, there are some of you today. I want you to listen to me closely because this, I'm speaking right at you if you're one of these people. Some of you today have never repented. You've never repented and trusted in Christ. You've never done that. Can I say today is the day of salvation? Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait for Jesus Christ to break the chains of sin in your life. Don't wait for the grace upon grace upon grace. Don't wait, because it's amazing, church. It is amazing. It's truly amazing. The amazing grace of God. Sin's not a game. And you might think you're okay for now, but can I tell you, our life is like a mist, like a vapor. We're here for a moment, and then we're gone. Don't wait, because we don't know our day. We don't know when our time is up. I pray you know Jesus Christ today. I pray you know Jesus Christ today. Let's stand.